Hello and welcome to the NAV Radio Podcast, where we help you navigate your life. Today we have my good friend Zach Candelores, aka Candles, with me, and he is a recent grad. He was a finance major, if I'm correct.
Marketing,
really? Okay. Yeah. And he, were you in any kind of organizations, clubs, or anything?
Not on campus. I did pledge Delta Sig. I ended up dropping my bid, though.
Okay.
I had some personal stuff going on. But otherwise, not really. I just played club ice hockey, not through LaSalle, but I played in a men's league. That's really it.
Yeah, he's a big hockey guy.
Very big hockey guy.
Yeah. So, what have you done since you've come out of college? What's been your biggest, I guess, what would I call it? I guess jobs, you know what I mean? Like.
I stayed at the bar, worked there all summer, you know, made a little bit of cash.
Right.
You know, it's nice because I only report about a third of my income. You know,
yeah, them tips.
Got the city of Philadelphia is stealing enough money from you already. They don't need any more. I did just get a job about a month and a half ago, working with Mutual of Omaha. I'm doing financial advising. So that's a pretty exciting opportunity for me. It's probably why you thought I was a finance major.
Yeah, that is why.
It's definitely a good career field to get into. You don't necessarily have to be in finance to get into it either, which is nice. It just depends on what company you're working for. So they got me doing all kinds of training right now. You know, I just passed my life and health insurance test 2 weeks ago. I take my Series 65. It's a securities test. Probably in about a month. I don't have a date picked out yet. But yeah, man, it's exciting. It's nice to have a real job. You know, I don't have to pace around and run my balls off all day for, $200 a night. Now I can start making some real cash, you know?
Yeah, you know, it's, it feels stressful. You feel like you got this weight on you, like, I gotta find something or I'm gonna be a loser, you know what I mean? So it's hard to, like, look for that, but also not feel like a jackass sitting around waiting.
Yeah, no, for sure. I did a couple interviews over the summer. I wasn't too pressed for it just because, you know, I already had a job. My student loans ain't too bad, you know?
Right.
So, kind of looked. I interviewed a few places. A couple weren't for me. A couple never got back to me. And it's just kind of fell into my lap, which really, really worked out. I like it so far. I actually work with our intern is from LaSalle. He lives with our good friend Cal Dwyer.
Hey.
John. So, he was the one telling me about all the frat stuff going on with, you know, who's in, who's out, all that.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, man, it's pretty cool. It's a good time.
So how did it fall into your lap, per se?
So I was just looking for jobs, like, within, you know, a certain distance of my new crib, right? I'm in Bensalem now.
Mm.
And it said they had an office that was, I think it was, like, 2.5-3 miles from my apartment. I'm like, oh, that's fucking great. Like, financial advisor, it's what I wanted to do. Didn't think I'd be able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, fuck, I applied anyway. You know, why not? What are they going to do, say no?
Yeah.
It's the worst they could do. And then it's actually funny, I kind of got like bait and switch. That office is like defunct. So now I have to drive every day all the way down the turnpike over to Bluebell over by KOP. But
oof, hey, my parents just moved there.
Yeah, did they? That's a nice town. It's good for them. But yeah, it's not terrible. It's only about 45 minutes to and from work every day, 35 if I leave early.
But also the turnpike sucks with the traffic.
Dude, I'm used to taking 95 in the Schuylkill. Like, those are hell. I'd much rather pay the $5 to take the turnpike each way than to not pay to sit in bumper-to-bumper traffic on the Schuylkill. Like,
that feels 100%, 100%. So, why'd you want to go into financial advising since you were a marketing major?
Coming out of high school, I really didn't know what I wanted to do. I took marketing, and I kind of liked it. But we just watched, you know, Shark Tank in class. That's like all we did.
And The Office, if you were in my personal science class.
Yeah. No, I didn't do that. I'm saying in high school I did that. I had a marketing class. I didn't like accounting, so I opted to not go into that. I was good at it. You know, I had to take, you know, Biz 101's accounting. And I think there's like 3 accounting courses you have to take, or accounting type courses you have to take as just any business major. I was good at them. I hated them. Then financial advising, the honest answer is I saw Wolf of Wall Street and I was like, yo, this is sick. Like,
yeah.
I can make all this money and, you know, they're running around your office doing blow and banging strippers, like
penny stocks.
Sounds like a great time, right? That's not what I'm doing. I'm working for a very old school company, so I'm making a lot less money, but at the end of the day, I'm also not working. You know, those guys are, it's a 24/7 job. You know, they're constantly just looking, seeing what the next play is. You know, it's
Yeah,
like
they
hedge
have
fund
to think
managers.
2 steps ahead.
Right. That's not what I'm doing. I do personal stuff. I do long-term planning. I do life insurance, disability stuff. Like, I do all of that kind of stuff. So it's nice. I get to help people still. And I can make a lot of money doing it. You know, I don't want to take a salary job making 35K. I'm working on commissions, but you know, most of the guys in the office, there's a couple of them, and most of them are, you know, my age, or 22, 23 years old, fresh out of college. Started working there 6 months ago, got through the trainings in about 3 months, and already made 10, 15K. You know, pace that out over a full year, that's a $60,000 a year.
It's not bad.
You know, most guys aren't getting that. I think Nick Guyman got a pretty good job. I think he's making close to 50, he said, which is really good actually. And then one of my other friends just got a job with IBX doing claims reviews, and he's making right around the same, close to 50, which, I mean, those jobs don't grow on trees.
No, they don't. You gotta really be looking for it, get the right connections and stuff.
Yeah, it's all about who you know. I almost got in at Tropicana as an intern a couple years ago. They just didn't have anything left. I probably could have gotten to Caesars if I reached out to the same guy. He's since moved over to Caesars. Now he's president of the casinos over there.
This Vegas or AC?
AC. He was in Vegas for a little bit when he
Okay.
left Trop, and then he had a no compete, so he had to go to Vegas to
Gotcha.
work for Caesars. But then after his no compete was up, he moved back to AC.
Non-compete is a bitch.
Yeah, it really is. Those are something else. Like, they shouldn't even exist, because the company could
Yeah, it's
dump you
so
at any
dumb.
time. You know, why can't you dump them for somebody else?
Exactly.
So
Ridiculous.
yeah, it's but yeah, those jobs, they don't, it's all about who you know. You know, if you don't know someone, you're gonna have a lot harder of a time. You're really gonna have to impress.
How would you say you would go about getting these connections? Because that's something I'm struggling with right now, finding the right people at the right time, you know?
I mean, for me, I'm kind of lucky. My stepdad, he's like the goddamn mayor. He knows everybody. So I actually knew that guy through a couple different avenues. Mr. Rodeo is his name. Tiger, they call him.
Tiger.
Yeah, Tony's his name. You know, Tony the Tiger. Yeah. So he is my high school's basketball coach's brother. I should phrase this different. I didn't play basketball. He was my high school's basketball coach, the brother of the high school basketball coach, right? And I knew him, you know, through a couple different things I did in the high school. You know, I didn't play, but I've had a couple good conversations with him and did a few things with him outside of academia. And then I also found out it's my stepdad's boss's cousin. She's related to all them. So they got me in. She sent the resume over the first time when I was looking for the internship. Otherwise, if you don't, you know, if you can't get someone through, you know, a parent and an aunt, uncle, cousin, whatever, it's all about going to professional events, really. They're pretty good. I actually have to do that quite a bit for my current job. You know, it's something they make us do just to get us out there, get us used to talking to people, and then also meeting people who could possibly give us referrals. So there's always, you know, all kinds of people there looking for all different things. There's all different kinds of events. There's lunches, which I've found aren't so great, honestly, so far. But then, you know, there's like, you know, networking happy hours, which you have to be 21, obviously, but
Yeah. But
that's
that's when you
closer to
should
when
be
you're looking for a
searching for
job,
stuff
right? That's
anyway.
right
It's
when you're
like,
looking either way. So it kind of works out that way.
and here's my thing, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just want to say on that specifically, like, I think your freshman and sophomore year, you shouldn't be really worrying about jobs and stuff. You should be worrying about resume building and
Yes.
then go actually make the connections. And I know I'm a junior right now. Junior and senior year, make the connections after you have the resume built up more, because then you have something to back it up with. Otherwise, if you're still trying to network and shit in your freshman and sophomore year, people are gonna be like, come on, what the fuck are you doing? Like, you know what I mean? So definitely do it like later, once you have stuff to back it up, so you can be confident that you know you can be a valuable asset to them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. I would say you definitely want to know people. It helps to know people early. So,
Yeah, that too, obviously,
you know,
but.
we do at LaSalle the all the networking stuff. It's good to go to that. The job
Yes.
fairs. You know what? You're a freshman, sophomore. You're not looking for a job yet. But you know what? Go to the job fair. Meet the, because a lot of times it's the same reps that come year after year. My recruitment manager was just here a couple weeks ago when you just did the job fair. And I told a few people, I was like, yo, like, if you want, you know, this kind of job, like, you're not going to make a salary, but, you know, they're most, a lot of my friends, you know, they're a little bit better off. I went to prep school with them. Like, you know, the parents could kind of give them a little bit of money. They have their own jobs. They have some money stashed away. I was like, you know, go talk to this guy. Like, it's a potentially really good job. If it, you know, you'd probably be a half decent fit at least. It doesn't hurt to talk to people.
Of course.
You know.
But, yeah, at the same time, yeah. So, I'll actually give an example, and that is what I want to say. So, they have like, a finance and accounting, like, networking night a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, I'm a marketing, digital marketing major. I want nothing to do with numbers. I'm just not a numbers guy at all. But I still went, one, because they sometimes have marketing reps that they have out there. And, two, I just wanted to mix and mingle and get better at talking to business professionals that are in the environment that, you know, I can just, like, kind of get used to talking to people in that world, you know what I mean? And it makes it easier once you're in that field to be able to, A, be able to talk to people that aren't exactly, you know, that you don't have day-to-day run-ins with, you know what I mean? If you're not in the accounting department, you're not going to talk to them a lot. So it's good practice not only for job interviews but interacting in the real world. And I remember, so I'm in DSP, and my friend from DSP was there, and she was also a marketing major. She's like, yeah, I'm a marketing major, but I didn't know if I wanted to come to this. And I'm like, look, just get out there to do some practice. You're only a sophomore, and you need the practice to just talk to people. She's like, I never thought of it that way. And she went there, and she got some good leads. So,
yeah, look, here's a way to look at it. You know, just to go on the marketing thing, marketing firms, right? A lot of people, like, they're looking for, you know, an accounting job. They're like, I'm not going to go work for a marketing firm. I'm not a marketer. I'm an accountant.
Yeah.
Marketing firms still need accountants. They still need finance people, right? Accounting firms still need marketing people. Like, all the businesses, it's not just constrained to what's their specialty, right?
Yeah.
You know, KPMG and PwC and all those, you know, the big four, they still need people for advertising, for, you know, finance and all those kinds of things. It's not just marketing people. Mm-hmm. It just, you know, don't limit yourself based on what your degree is. I mean, hell, I'm a financial advisor. I have a marketing degree.
Yeah. And also, of course, sometimes they consult outwardly. So that's can be a roadblock, but then just ask them who do you consult for or who consults for you, and then go and hit those people up, right? You know, you can kind of spider web your way in.
Yeah, it's all about knowing people who could hook you up with this person, right? Use LinkedIn, contact people, follow up with people. If you meet someone that you think could potentially really help you out, you hit it off, you know, you get their business card, shoot them a text, shoot them an email, give them a call, whatever you got to do. Just touch base a second time, because you know what, they saw your face the first time, you reach out to them the second time, that does leave a really good lasting impression. So that's really, really good, especially when you're looking for a job in the near future. They'll be way more willing to help you than someone that they met one time that they didn't hear from for 2 years, and then all of a sudden they're looking for a job.
Yeah, that's something that we talked about on last week's podcast. Kyle Hemphill was on, and he said, you know, I've never gotten a job from just spamming my resume out there on Indeed or Monster. He said it was all about emailing and, you know, just emailing the right people and asking around for emails and LinkedIns and stuff, and then just following up and following up, even if it can be a little annoying. They're busy people, and they understand you're looking for something. So as long as you're not being overbearing about it, definitely just keeping persistent.
Yeah, here's something a lot of people don't realize until they get in the working world. So let's say you get a 9-to-5, right? You're working, you know, 9 a.m. to 5 a.m., 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., whatever, you know, 40-hour work week. I would say that most people are wasting about 3 hours a day at work, easy, where they're just doing nothing.
Just bullshit, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, it's really not, it's not as bad as you think. You know, phone calls could be a little bit on the annoying side if you're, you know, out on a meeting. Like, if I'm out on a meeting with a client and I had somebody, you know, blow my phone up and it's buzzing in my pocket for 10 minutes straight, you know, that would be kind of annoying. But, like, it doesn't hurt to shoot someone an email, maybe follow up a week later if you don't hear from them.
Yeah, it's not,
you know,
about
that kind of stuff is something else, you know. That's not a big deal. You know, phone calls are a little bit different. Especially, you know, with this day and age with texting and email being so readily accessible, but it doesn't hurt.
Yeah, and don't just be like, hey, can you help me with a job? Be like, hey, I want to learn more about your company. Can we meet for coffee sometime?
Exactly.
It's a lot easier than just trying to set something up over text, you know what I mean? Trying to get a foot in the door over text, it's not really gonna work. You have to have at least one face to face with this person besides your first time meeting at the fairs or what, the nights or, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's what we do with these networking events, right? We'll meet up with people, you know, we'll exchange business cards, connect on LinkedIn. I haven't yet, just because I've been a little bit unlucky with networking events since I started. One of them, there was literally nobody else there except for myself and the other guy on my team and my manager.
Gotcha.
One of them we went to, it was strange. We went, did our little, you know, 20-second elevator speech. And then the waitress came in looking for help because somebody was not breathing outside, and we
Oh,
ended up
shit.
dealing with that situation. It's not really a long story. The guy fell and hit his head and wasn't breathing.
Jesus.
Yeah, that was a whole big mess. So I, you know, needless to say, we didn't get any cards that day.
Yeah.
You know, we helped that situation, then, you know, met up with our good friend Jack Daniels and then left.
Oh, he's one of my best friends.
Yeah, oh yeah. So
Him and Captain
there's that,
Morgan.
and then the first one I went to, it was pretty small. There was like a fee to join the association, which is pretty lame. I don't want to pay $250 to join your little association to get like two referrals a year,
It's not worth it.
which I mean, it technically kind of is,
Oh.
because I mean, at least in my industry, like, right, even if I write like a Medicare supplement plan, right, it only takes about a half hour. I get like a $300 commission on it, so it's like kind of worth it, but kind of not. Because if you don't get a referral, you're boned, you're out 250.
Right.
And but I mean, that one I got a couple cards, but they were all people in the same industry as me.
Yeah.
So like, you know, what am I going to do? Because one woman actually messaged me on LinkedIn with an event she was running. But it's like, was I going to do message her back and be like, hey, do you want to meet up so I can pick your brain and like steal your clients? You know,
Yeah.
be your direct competition.
Can't exactly do that. That's the non-compete you don't want to care about.
Oh yeah. No, I mean, it's just the problem is like there's stuff that I do that she doesn't do. She probably does stuff that I can't do, but like at the end of the day, we're both financial advisors. Like
There's a
if
disconnect.
somebody, right, if somebody likes, you know, if she has a client, right, and her client, she doesn't write Medicare supplements. She worked for, I think, MassMutual. They don't write that. I think they strictly do life, health, and disability. And then other general financial planning stuff, whereas we do like Medicare stuff.
Yeah.
If she referred one of her clients to me for Medicare, right, and they needed a Medicare supplement plan, what's to stop her client from being like, you know what, I like him better, I'm gonna take all my services over to him?
Yeah, and you don't want to
And
be that
that,
dick, then you lose the connection with her altogether.
right, and you know, just on her end, like I wouldn't want to give that
You're not
give
that
that
kind of
up.
guy.
Like,
Yeah.
I mean,
Right?
listen, at the end of the day, it's a dog eat dog world, right? You got to make the
Okay.
money for yourself, especially
Yeah.
in that industry. It's a very high turnover. Because like it's dog eat dog, like you make the commissions, that's how you make money. Most of these companies aren't giving you a really good salary. I actually don't
Yeah.
get salaried at all.
Really?
I get bonuses and I have a really good commission structure, but I don't have a salary.
Oh, wow.
Where and like some companies, they do some stuff where they'll like give you a draw, it's called, where you'll get, you know, a $500 allowance a month from the company. But if you don't make that up in commissions, you have to pay the company back.
Oh, shit.
So I mean, that's something else to look out for too, but
Yeah.
it's, you know, you're not gonna directly help your competitors. And I mean, you can't, you
You
know,
don't
when
want
I'm
to,
like the
yeah.
guys around the office, you know, we're kind of like on the same team, right?
Yeah.
We'll do stuff together where we'll split the commissions. That's like a thing that we could do.
But you're on the same team.
Right.
You're
At the end
building
of
each
the
other
day,
up. You don't wanna.
we're on the same team, you know,
If you're.
and like my
Yeah.
marketplace is a little bit different. Like all those guys, they're all, the one guy's from Connecticut. He was friends with one of my high school friends, he was his college roommate. You know, he doesn't like doing Philly stuff. He doesn't like going into the city and meeting with people from there because,
Yeah.
you know, half the time they're like, you know, oh, I want a life insurance policy and it's going to be $200 a month or $100 a month or whatever. And they're on SSDI, you know, Social Security Disability income, and they're making $800 a month and their rent is $400 a month on the subsidized housing. And it's a big mess, right? They don't
Yeah.
like doing Philly stuff. They do the suburbs where people, you know, they got a little bit more money. They're at least like solidly middle class.
Better leads.
I mean, it's a different type of lead. It's
Yeah.
less, there's less junk in that
Less
market.
risky.
Yeah.
And,
Yeah, because like listen, I could sell you a life insurance policy right now, right? If you can't afford to pay it and you don't pay it for a full year, I lose that commission. They charge it back.
Yeah.
So that's, there's a benefit to doing things to where people are going to work. But like my marketplace is also a little bit different. I'm from South Philly. The other guy on my team's from South Philly. Our sales manager, who they just hired a few months ago, is from South Philly. So that's our market. We're tackling South Philly, right? You know, mm-hmm. We want to branch out other ways, obviously. But that's our main thing. Like we're doing seminars at different restaurants on Medicare, Medicaid. We're doing all kinds of stuff, and that's kind of what we're going after because nobody else really wants to. Because they're all from the suburbs, and you know they don't want to potentially deal with lower income people because they're going to be more flaky as far as clients go.
Yeah, that makes sense. I want to talk a little bit about commission because I think you've said before, especially in like sales, like especially in like places like New York and stuff, or like big cities like Philly, like if you don't get your first million within like what you say like 10 years or something, you're considered a failure.
Well, that's a Wolf of Wall Street quote. That is for stockbrokers, which I could pivot into that actually in my industry if I get a couple of the licenses.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean,
isn't it most sales jobs though? Like you really have to be able to make a shit ton of money.
I mean, like you could make a comfortable living, make 60K a year in sales. It depends on what you're selling to. Like,
mm-hmm.
You know, my industry is it's high turnover because it's not an easy industry, but the money is really there. Like, you know, I have one of the guys in the office made a $15,000 commission off one sale.
Yeah, wow.
I think he was doing something for a small business. And he set up their life insurance policies. So he gets 50% of the first year premiums.
Dude, he got lucky with that. That's a big shark.
I mean, they're big. They're hard to do, though. They take a while. Like, that's not a quick moving thing. Like,
no.
You could process an individual's life insurance policy. It takes about a week.
Right, but right? That's...
Long end is a month.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those small business policies could take, like, 3, 4, 5 months easily.
Yeah, but that's...
To get set up.
That's life, you know what I mean? The big fish are going to take the longest, but in the end, it gives you the better reward.
It's definitely worth it. I'm working on some stuff with my boss, or both my bosses from the bar, and then a few other people. But, yeah, it's like, if you're selling stuff, right, if you're going on commission, something people were telling me that I saw this in the future, because, you know, I don't want to brag, but I'm kind of a genius. I had people like in my family and friends who were telling me like, oh, you should get into pharmaceutical sales. Mm-hmm. And I said, no, that's going to crash and burn. Because I was watching the way people they were just pumping pills out. I had friends in high school, you know, 15, 16 years old, that were hooked on pills.
Yep. Still.
And I'm like, no, like I'm not getting into that. That's going to crash and burn. I don't want to get caught up in that. Lo and behold, you know, what, 3 years later, heroin epidemic. Because everybody's on the pills. The supply of pills dries up. They can't afford it. Their insurance won't pay for more. Their doctors get busted for being a pill mill, right?
Mm.
All of a sudden, they're looking for a different way to get their fix. And, you know, they start buying the pills from dudes off the street that are getting, like, shady shit from China.
Yep.
And then that dude's like, hey, you know, this stuff's cheaper. Why don't you try it out? And it's heroin.
Yeah.
Now that's getting laced with all kinds of nonsense, you know, fentanyl, which, you know, like, it takes, like, micrograms of that stuff could kill somebody.
Yeah. I don't know if it's exactly the pharmaceutical industry has crashed and burned yet. I think it's still of the bubble, but
it's going there.
CVS is tanking fast.
Well, I'm not talking about, like, pharmacy. Pharmacies are a little bit different, right? They just fill the scripts.
But what are you saying, like Pfizer?
I'm saying, I think it wasn't Pfizer. It was another one of the big pharma
the
companies.
The V one? I forget. Isn't there one that starts with a V?
I'm blanking on which company it was, but one of them just got busted real bad. They got the ball suit off of them, I think, in Oklahoma, and that's going to set a precedent.
Well, thank God.
Because, you know, states like that, like, you know, real blue-collar states with, like, physical industries. West Virginia got hit real hard.
That's what I was gonna say. There was a town in West Virginia that was getting like deliveries of 20 million pills like a month or something.
Yeah, like it's crazy. And these things are highly addictive. You don't really need them. I got my wisdom teeth out, and they wrote me this big ass bottle of Percocets. I think.
Jesus.
I took one. It made me feel like shit, and I never took another one. Right.
Yeah.
And I probably could have made a fortune, honestly, if I wanted to go and, like, be a scumbag and sell
it. It was Merck, right? It was Merck, wasn't it?
Maybe. I forget. This, I read this, I was like half shot in the ass, honestly, when I read it.
Okay. But yeah, I got, I
But
broke my
they're
toe and I
getting
got
super,
perks.
they're getting, yeah, exactly. It's crazy. Like, they just write perks, they hand them out like candy, and they're so highly addictive. And it's, you know, like even like Vicodin is kind of like a lesser degree of than those things. But people like don't really need them, and they're like, oh, it's time for me to take my Vicodin, and it makes them feel good. And then, you know, you think about it, you're like, I'm not really in pain. Why do I still feel like I need to take these things?
Yeah, same with Xanax,
And, you know,
especially.
if you don't have like a good, right, that's another thing, is all, 'cause that's,
It's supposed to, first of all, Xanax, people don't realize it was supposed to be a sleeping aid, and then
yeah.
they turn it into an anxiety pill, which I don't know how the fuck doctors even twisted that. You
Well,
know,
I mean, it's,
it was
you
supposed to
know,
be a sleeping
they
thing.
made medicine for one thing, and you know what? It turns out it works better at this. So that's
Yeah,
kind of how that
but
works.
I get that, but still at the same time, like, this is supposed to be a painkiller, you know what I mean? Like, well, every time
Well,
I've
Xanax
taken.
is for anxiety.
Yeah, I know it is, but I just
Are we
think it's.
back on perks and all?
What?
Are you back on perks? Is that what you're saying? It's
No,
supposed to
I'm
be a
saying
painkiller?
Xan. Well, Xanax is it is for anxiety, but it also it gives you that same thing that a Percocet would. You know what I mean? It just
Yeah,
works in a different
it's gonna
way.
be like a Vicodin. It's, you know, not as strong as like a Percocet or an Oxy or something, but
It's weird.
it you know, it gives you like that dose of it's a dopamine,
Yep.
right? So it like this shit's just crazy addictive, man. It sucks seeing this. Like, I'm working in South Philly. I grew up in South Philly. Like, I see it on a daily basis when I'm at the bar. Like, you know, we got the friggin' junkie down the street. Like, you see her and she weighs about 80 pounds, right? And there's days where she's like getting high out in the street instead of in the house, and she's just like all slumped over on the sidewalk, and she sounds like a goddamn dying cat.
Yeah.
And it's like, one, that's
Business.
bad for business. It's bad for everyone else in the neighborhood. That lowers your property value. And it sucks to see people like that.
Yeah, hurting. So, yeah, just to get back on topic a little bit, it is, you know, it's that bubble might burst at some point, and it's
Yeah,
cool that
that's.
you're just kind of doing your own thing and wanting to go in a different route that might help people a little more with the life insurance and all
Yeah,
that.
no, that it, yeah, that's going. I called that years ago. It's going to go. There's going to be a lot of lawsuits, because they're just sending pills out. There was a doctor in Philly just got busted for it. My buddy was telling me last
Oh,
night,
shit.
because I had to hide. My hockey team had a game, and our team captain just had a kid a few months ago, and he said that right after his wife gave birth, they got out, and then like a couple days later, the doctor got busted. He was one of the pill mill doctors. And he was like a super highly respected doctor. You know what they do? Those companies hire like, you know, former NFL cheerleaders to be reps, right? You
Yeah.
know, you don't have me or you walking into a doctor's office, right? They got like,
And
I
they'll
don't even
invite them
know.
out to big ass
They got like
dinners.
these, you know, insanely attractive women walking in with low cut tops and short skirts and high heels, pushing Percocets, offering like free vacations on their company's dime.
Yep, and you know they invite them out to big ass dinners, and I'll don't worry,
Right.
I'll cover the steak for you.
Yeah, dude, it's crazy, that kind of stuff. So
So
that's why I wanted to go into a different industry.
that's
Like,
respectable.
you know, I couldn't live with myself, especially because I had good friends in high school that got caught up in that. And, you know, I don't know anyone that's died from it personally, but a lot of my friends have had friends die from it. I think the one kid got clean because he saw
That's
like
good.
four of his friends die.
Yeah.
And he was like, I can't do it. And he got out. He wasn't, you know, on heroin or nothing. He was just doing pills. But it progresses to that point once the pills aren't enough.
Course. So, like, that's something I will say for you guys as well too. Just because, you know, someone's dangling a carrot in front of you, there's usually something behind that, maybe more nefarious, maybe not. You just have to look into things more. Like I was doing you like with a company this summer that claimed they were in, say, a marketing internship, but really it was just a sleazy sales job where we were canvassing on the street trying to get people to donate to these charities. And I don't even know where the fuck the money was going. I bet you, like, I would bet you 75% that not a lot of money went to this charity at all, because they the way they just
Yeah.
ran the company, it just made it
It's
look like
all
that.
administrative, air
Yeah.
quotes, cost.
And so, yeah, you just have to kind of realize, just because it's good, too good to be true, it probably is. You know, that saying is usually true. So go for something that you feel like this is something that I can stand for. This is something that, you know, I'm my family would be proud of me for doing. You know what I mean? And just try to be on the up and up, because money isn't everything, and your happiness at the end of the day is more important than screwing other people for a quick buck.
Yeah, I mean, something for all you marketing people out there like me. So I interviewed with this company over the summer. I'm blanking on the name offhand. It's located in Cherry Hill. They are outbound marketing. And, you know, that's the industry term for it, right? So essentially what it was is door-to-door sales, right? They mm-hmm. handle like Verizon contracts out to them to follow up with leads. So it's not like I was, you know, knocking on random doors, but I went in for the interview. You know, they called me up. They're like, you know, hey, do you want to come in? First off, they called me and scheduled the interview for like the next day, which is not a good sign. No. If that happens to you, be very cautious about this. So I go in. I think I couldn't go to the next day, so I went in the day after. So I go in. They bring me and some other girl in at the same time. Now, this company, I looked it up. They had really highly rated
reviews
on like Indeed, Glassdoor, like, and it was no joke. I mean, they had like hundreds of reviews that were like 4 or 5 stars. They were mm-hmm. everyone praised, you know, the company culture and all this other stuff.
Right.
Pretty good pay, good management, good room for improvement. You know,
yeah.
that if you kept on the track, that's another high turnover industry, outbound marketing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you kept on that track, you know, they got you got so into it, you had enough knowledge, you could be promoted within like 6 months or whatever it was.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this was. I had this interview, I think, in July. So this is a little while ago. My memory's a little bit fuzzy on it because
mm-hmm.
I wasn't really too interested. I never went back for the second interview, which was literally just me going out on the street with them. And here's the thing. It was in Cherry Hill, outbound marketing, right, going door to door. You know it's real close to Cherry Hill? Pensauken. You know it's real close to Pensauken?
Camden.
So I was like, nah. Because the pay was good. They were dangling in front of me. It was like,
mm-hmm.
they, you know, they said, you know, most people here are making, you know, their first year they might make as low as like 40, but then pretty quickly, you know, you start building up, you know, the commissions are good. It was like, because the way it worked was you weren't going door-to-door cold, right? Verizon, you know, you go on the website. Let's say you want Verizon internet and cable.
Mm-hmm.
You go on the website. You fill out the little thing saying, you know, I'm interested in receiving more information, right? Now,
yeah.
instead of receiving an email, they give you a goddamn they don't even give you a goddamn phone call. They send someone to your house during the workday or right after the workday, right?
Right.
So they want to be there, like, one of their big selling points was, oh, you miss rush hour both ways because the hours were, like, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the hours are crazy. Then you're just out there wandering around. They give you, like, a Verizon t-shirt if you're selling Verizon that day, or Power Home and Siding was another one, which...
Bro, they made us wear a fucking vest that said child phone on bright green. It was so corny.
Yeah, no, we didn't have that. We just had, like, whatever company we were representing that day, right?
Mm, still kind of corny, though.
Yeah, a little bit. But, like, I would go out. You know, I mean, now I'm wearing a suit every day, which is...
Yeah.
I don't mind it. It's not everybody's cup of tea, but whatever. But I would go out, right, and I'd be like, you know, hey, you filled out this thing for Verizon. And then, like... out of, you know, 400, or let's say just out of 80 houses I visited that day, about 40 would tell me to go fuck myself and slam the door in my face.
Yeah.
And then they're like, you know, the other 20 might be interested, but not, you might not make a sale. But then like 10, you might make a sale. And then 10, you might make a sale. And then you could be like, hey, I noticed, you know, your panels on your house are a little bit dirty. Why don't I have somebody come out and give you a quote on doing a cleaning? And if you got someone to go out and give a quote from Power Home and Siding as a company... which blew up. They do a couple hundred million in revenue every year, I think, now.
Mm-hmm.
They're like a local one. They're pretty much a tri-state area. But I would get like $100 from that. And if I made the Verizon sale, I'd get like 300. And, you know, you make a couple of those a day, you're talking about a couple grand a month, which is nice, but you're also working 70-hour weeks. And
yeah.
that's not... You don't have to do that as a marketing major to be successful in a job. There's tons of other jobs out there.
Don't do it just for the resume building is what he's saying, you know?
Yeah, don't just do that. You'll find something. Listen, you're better off getting a job serving tables or bartending than taking a job like that. Because you know what? Serving tables, I'll make... When I was doing it, you know, full-time, you know, 4 or 5 days a week, 30, 35 hours a week, I was probably making $2,000 to $3,000 a month, easy,
yeah.
every month. Like, I was clear in 2000. Guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
There were months where I cleared 3,000. Like, it's, and it's cash, right? There's tax implications with that, depending on where you work. You know, corporate, you're not going to get the cash benefit as much, but
right.
mom and pop place, like, if you're getting all cash tips, you just claim, you know, the minimum every shift, and then it, yeah. when you do your taxes at the end of the year, you claim like $10 an hour as your average pay or whatever with the tips.
Right.
I make an average of 20 an hour with tips. Good nights, I'll make 30, 40 an hour with tips. Like, it's, you're better off doing that than just taking some job that you're going to hate and leave in 6 months and then be like, what do I do now? And then it, yeah. it's just not a good cycle to get into. You're better off finding something you like and just having like a side hustle in the meantime, whether yep. it be bartending, serving, driving for Uber, Lyft, assuming your car is good for that.
Yeah, don't be embarrassed by doing those things. You're just doing your grind. You
yeah,
know?
Look, a job is a job. That's yeah. how I always said it. I, you know... My parents have done well for themselves for the most part. My mm-hmm. stepdad does very well for himself. A job is a goddamn job.
Yeah.
You know, I don't look down on the dishwashers at the restaurant because you know what? They have a job.
Yeah.
And you know what? Most of those guys, especially the Spanish dudes, they're sending money. The one guy sends money to his mom and his sister every month. He pays all his bills, takes care of himself, sends whatever he has left to his family in Mexico.
Like, yeah, that's dope.
You know, it's, there's no shame in having a mm-hmm. job.
Yeah, so let me just redirect this conversation a little bit, if you don't mind. So sure. I just want to know a little bit more, just as far as, like, commission goes, how would you say to, like, people who want to get a job but are kind of scared by commission a little bit, how can you ease those fears?
So the big thing with commissions is you're going to have some sort of safety net for the first couple of months when you're getting started.
Which is why
right?
you're bartending, right?
Right, that's why I'm bartending. And then I, you know, I did it all through college. I have a decent chunk of change stashed away. If I wanted to, I could get myself out of about 60% of the debts that I'm in currently. Mm-hmm. Student loans, car loans, all of it. Like, I could get myself out of almost all of it. But the commission jobs are boom or bust, really. They're pretty much all high turnover for that reason. People...
Would you say you need a big personality to get into it, or can you do it with being more as a reserved person?
You need to have a little bit of personality. You could be reserved. All right, so, like, you know, people think I have this big, you know, personality. I'm a little bit more, you know, I have a little bit of personality, but
you're
I'm also kind of laid back.
You feel comfortable with.
Right. Like, I'm, you know, I'm a pretty laid back guy. Like, that's how I wait tables. Everybody, mm-hmm. people generally love it because I'm like, I'm laid back. I get you what you need. I'm not overbearing. Like,
right.
And that's a good way to be, you know, because no one likes a pushy salesman.
No.
Right? Nobody likes that. So you don't want to be too big of a personality, but you can't be too shy. You know, you still have to kind of make that little bit of push to be like, you know, I think you should do this. You know, in my case, like, I think you should get this policy. Or,
yeah.
You know, I think you should buy,
like,
this service or
make
whatever.
Make it seem like you're looking out for me. And you might not be completely, you can hold close to your chest, but you do want to look out for them, so it's a little bit of both, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's, I don't like the sleazy sales jobs aren't good. You really shouldn't take those unless you're insanely desperate for a job, need to start paying like student loans off or whatever.
Right, but yeah, it's I guess what you're saying is not for everyone.
It's not for everyone. That's why all those industries are high turnover. But at the end of the day, if that's the personality you have, if you think you could do it, if you're willing to put the work in up front.
It is a lot of work, especially to get, like, this big,
yeah,
this
you
big
gotta
things
get, you
like
gotta
you guys
get clients,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, for me, like,
get
I have
base.
To get clients to sell stuff, and I gotta, like, I gotta keep going back to clients that I already gave something to, see if they need something else, or see if someone they know could benefit from my service, mm-hmm. right? That's how I'm gonna make money. So it's a lot of work up front, but you know what? The older guys in my office that are, you know, in their 40s, they're clearing $100K a year.
Mm-hmm.
And all they do is pick up the phone all day and drive their clients' houses.
Yeah.
You know, these are guys that have, you know, $1 million in assets under management with different clients, like, combined. They get 1% of that a year.
Right.
Like, that's $100,000 a year for essentially managing all your assets the same way. Like,
yeah,
you throw it all into a... It depends on... Now, there's all different kinds of... I could get really into it if you wanted me to, but I would need a lot more time.
Yeah.
But in essence, you know, like, there's a lot more living benefits to life insurance than people realize. You know, term mm-hmm. life is term life. Like, that's a death benefit for a fixed period. But, like,
yeah.
whole life policies and annuities and, you know, there's a lot of living benefits to that. And the way it works is, like, they'll just put, you know, all their money into one account.
Right.
Right? And then, like, I'll have all my clients will put their money into an account. And then I'll take all that money and... you know, invest it now with my current qualifications, the qualifications I will have once I pass this next exam. I'll only be able to invest in a certain way, mostly in like it's safe securities. It'll be actually our I don't even handle it personally. MOIS, Mutual Omaha Investor Services, handles all the actual investments. I think I just like select the risk profile for the client. But all that money just gets dumped into an account. I tell the other, our home or our other sector of the company, like, these people want have this risk profile, these people have this one, and then they handle it, and then I just report everything back to the client. Like, I'm essentially a liaison, which is nice because once I'm set up, like, I don't really, you don't have to work super hard. The hardest part is getting new clients.
Yeah, that's what they say. It takes twice as much work to get a new client versus going back to an old client versus loyalty. But that's hard with life insurance because these people only need one life insurance, you know?
I mean, there's a bunch of stuff. Like, if you're working for like MassMutual, Northwestern, that's pretty much what they do is life insurance, right? And they're very seedy for the most part. Like, they get in there, they sell you your 30-year term life insurance policy, they collect their check, and then you never hear from the guy again. Then you call into an 800 number to report a claim. Like, let's say you buy the policy, you die, and then your wife, your sister, your brother, whoever calls in to report the claim. They don't call your agent, right?
No.
One of the guys that sits in one of the cubicles near me took a call the other day. Somebody called in a death claim, and they call it into him, and he does the reporting for them. Like, it's a lot more personal, which is. It's definitely a better company in my industry than the very non-personal companies, because it's all about personal connections.
Of course, like we said before. So, is there anything you want to, I guess, leave marketing students with? Any kind of advice or anything before we head out?
Yeah, I mean, just don't feel like you need to get any job. Find the job that's good for you. If you don't want to make, if you're not comfortable making commission, if you don't think you could sell things or push a product or whatever, don't take that kind of job. Take a job that's got a salary. You know what? You might start out at 35K. It's not great,
Are
but
there
it's.
marketing salary jobs out there?
Oh, yeah, no, there's marketing salary jobs. If you work for
Okay.
like a marketing firm doing, I mean, like digital marketing or
That's what I want to get
analytics
into.
or what the hell does Nick do? I think he does like. I think he's like a business analyst, which is. He's a marketing and finance guy, so he's got that dual major to help him out a little bit with that. That's why he's making pretty good money. But you take the job, right? If you don't like it, or if you're not satisfied with the salary, give it 6 months, give it a year, start job hunting again. Because you know what? Now you got experience, you got some more connections. Now hopefully find the job that'll give you 40,000, 45,000. Right, give you a good raise, and then you could talk to your own company if you like them and say, listen, I have this offer from so and so. They're going to give me this much money. I'd like to stay here, but that's a big raise. Could you guys give me this? And you know what? If they give it to you, great. You just got a big raise. If they don't give it to you,
Move
great.
on.
You just got a big raise and you got a fresh start somewhere else.
Yeah, so it's like, don't feel tied down to a company just because they gave you your start. Just try to work with them as much as you can. You don't want to be that guy, but if they're not willing to work with you, well, then that's not a company that you should be with anyway because they don't like respect your talents, they don't respect your skill set, they don't see you as a valuable asset that another company does.
Well, I mean, all to tie into that, that's not even necessarily the case. Maybe their
Oh,
budget just constrains
okay.
it. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe they
I
can't
guess.
afford to pay. Because then, if you're making
Yeah, I wasn't thinking about it like
40,000,
that, my
then not
bad.
everybody can make. Then everybody else is going to want 40,000, or that's going to now be the base.
Yeah,
That's
I
going to be
didn't
the
think about it that
expectation
way.
for
My
new people
bad.
coming in. So don't burn bridges. But just say like, hey, listen, like, all due respect, but they're offering me, $5,000 more than you guys are.
Just open a
If you guys can't
conversation.
match it. It's too good of an opportunity to turn down. Like, there's ways to put it to where, you know what, say it doesn't work out there. Say, it's not a fit, or they're giving you a lot more work than you expected or than they made it seem like. If you want to go back to your old company, you burn that bridge, it's done.
So you want to be able to just keep your options open,
Exactly.
but
It's all about
don't,
options.
like keep the connections that you already have because you never know what happens down the line. Life is a crazy thing.
Yeah, life is quite the roller coaster, that's for sure.
Well, thanks for coming on, man. I'm surprised I didn't see you pull up with the Canadian tux on.
Yeah. No, no Canadian tux today.
But seriously, thanks. This has been very informative, and I hope everyone takes something from this because this was a very worthwhile conversation. Is there any social media you want to plug, like an Instagram or something?
I mean, I have Instagram. If anybody wants to follow me, go for it. Zach.Candelori. Nice and easy. It's just my name. You'll see all the Delta Sig people follow me. And then, a bunch of other LaSalle people. I don't really have anything quite yet. But if you need life insurance, reach out to me on there and I'll give you my phone number. We could link up on that. But that's my only plug right there, my shameless self-plug.
There we go. Well, you heard it here first, folks. Thank you all for tuning in, and keep navigating, folks. Yes, yes, yes. We back once again. Another banger. Yes, indeed. I mean, only what, 5, 6 days apart or something, but still, I come through. I deliver like the milkman. You know where it's at. Yes, what a podcast. I really enjoyed that conversation I had with him. A longer one, but a worthwhile one, man. I know there was a little dip in there where we kind of got a little bit into the opioid epidemic a little bit, but that's important to talk about. We need to kind of be more aware about this and keep it in our minds and try to fix it, It's not going to get fixed on its own. But we also had a lot of good conversation elsewhere, and I was really satisfied with how that turned out. We've had a lot of finance guys on talking, like Vic and Kyle and all them, and we've talked about insurance a lot already, but it's good to have a new, fresh perspective on it. And at the same time, he talked about marketing, and we got a lot of insight on that. He talked about commissions and all that, and I think that he did a really good job of putting that all into perspective, and I actually learned a lot from that conversation with him, and I was thoroughly satisfied with how that turned out. Man, he's got a mouth on him, doesn't he? But that's what I love about people like that, that I can just connect with them and go back and forth, bounce off each other, and get that conversation flowing, I love introverts, it's great, I love everyone, but I also really like people who can talk like I can and just be able to get kind of deeper with it, if that makes sense. We're able to get a wider variety, cast a larger net on what to talk about, and I was satisfied because this podcast is really about, being able to have a diverse kind of topic base that we do. I talked to Jay Kahn and he had some great things to say about nursing, and I'm gonna bring on my boy Tad soon and we're gonna talk about fitness and self-improvement and stuff, because this isn't just a vocational podcast. This is about self-improvement and self-awareness and being able to know who you are. And of course, it's good to kind of get, a sense of what you want to do in life, but it's also important to find out who you are. So we want to have that aspect going on when we talk on this podcast, which is why I'm bringing on new people that can help us on that part of our journey, because I'm still trying to trudge my way through that, and I know you are too. So at the end of the day, this is a hand-in-hand journey, and we're gonna get through it together. So with that being said, I got a supporter shout out for us right now. It's my boy Sheldon. You know him as Mr. LaSalle all over campus, carrying it all on his shoulders, man. That is Sheldon. Yes, indeed, he does not have an Instagram because he's too cool for school with that. So he is on Snapchat, add the boy. It's Shell R City 30. That is capital S H E L R C I T Y 30. And you can find me on Instagram at underscore M I K E R U F O N E underscore. And you can find this podcast Instagram. That's right, this podcast has an Instagram too. Go and give that a follow at Beyond the Sim. BeyondTheSim. Beyond the Sim. Where I post updates on this podcast, motivational quotes, all kinds of good content that you can consume with a big ass spoon. Hell yeah. So With that being said, go Eagles. I hope they can crush those cowgirls, you know what I'm saying? And I am just hoping that everyone gets through this week, you know, powering through with a positive attitude and being productive, but keeping a level head about them and not letting stress overtake them. We're going to talk about that in future episodes because I think that's important to cover too. So, with all that being said, I hope y'all are navigating your life to the best of your ability, and see you next week. Well, I'll have an update on who is going to be on, but I already have some people in mind. So, adios, folks.